gonna take me a while to get used to everything. Certainly, once again, we are certainly indebted to the great God of heaven, who does all things well. I just want to say that it's such a joy to be back what I now call home. We are here. We look forward to great things happening here at the Lakeside Church of Christ. If you see me looking over the audience, I'm trying to make sure that everybody is in their assigned seat, according to Eva. She made that known that we have assigned seats, so I'm trying to see where you're sitting so I can get used to seeing your faces in that spot. I'm trying to find me a seat as well. But anyway, it's so good to be with you. Oh, man, God has been good. He has allowed us to go and come, and we have been fellowshipping since we've been in town. And we're just so thankful for you who have come out today to be with us. If we have someone in the audience who is a visitor, we just want you to know that you are, in fact, our honored guest. And if there's anything that we can do or say to make your stay a more pleasant one and that will make you want to come back and be with us again and again, by all means, let us know. We're just waiting on Jacqueline to get back home so I can have the other piece of the puzzle so we can get things together. But thank you. I just want to thank the whole entire congregation for your confidence in me to be your minister. It's just an exciting part of my life. I don't know of any other time I have been happier to in my life. And I just want to thank you. And we just hope that we can, as Brother Bill said on Wednesday night, that I'm not working for Lakeside, I'm working with Lakeside, so that nobody can let their guard down and put it all on the preacher. We're going to have to work collectively together in order to be a positive impact in this community. And we're just so thankful. We won't be long on this morning. We simply want to say what the Bible has to say and remain silent while the Bible is in fact silent. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Father God, which art in heaven, again we come to you, and we're so thankful for the gathering that we have on this morning. Father God, we're so thankful for the power of your holy and divine word, which has the power to save souls. We trust and pray, Father God, I ask you to bless this spiritual meal that we're about to receive, that be for the nourishment of our souls. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. I like the theme that we have for, I think, this year, Begin Again. And it was my intent to be here January the 1st to start Beginning Again. So I feel that this has already been preached, or the theme has been spoken on. So we're going to begin it again this morning. We're going to stay within the lines of the theme for this year. And I invite your attention to go with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Of course, I told Carla that it was going to be 4 through 7, but I want to switch it up on this morning. God has done it again. God has done it again. Go with me to the text. Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm reading from the King James Version. I'd like to put before you this morning the thought, beginning again, that's so important, because many people find themselves living miserable lives. Sometimes they find themselves in a state of depression, so much so that they even have to be medicated for depression. This problem is sometimes solved through medication, and I don't want you to misunderstand me and say that Brother Jeffrey said to get off my medication, but no, I'm not a doctor. But this problem can sometimes is caused simply because some of us have gotten so far in life that we forget what it was like in the beginning. This problem is sometimes caused because somewhere in the course of our lives we have lost the love that we originally had for some person, place, or something. And we find ourselves depressed because we have forgotten what it was like in the beginning. We'll see our lesson on this morning how Paul writes to the Philippian church. And he goes through an extensive measure to encourage the Philippian church to don't forget the original love they had for God. Paul uses the book of Philippians is one of the Epistle Paul's greatest joyous letters that he's ever written. Paul had a special relationship with the Philippian church. Paul was the Philippian church who was with Paul at the beginning of his ministry. Only the Philippian church was the one who gave to Paul, who had confidence in Paul enough to contribute a generous contribution to his work. Paul had a special love for the Philippian church of Philippians and the people of Philippi. And Paul here wants them to be encouraged through the love. Chapter 1, as you recall, Paul says, I pray for you because the work that you are doing, Paul becomes excited and you can see it in his letter. Paul says, I pray for you because I know that the work you're doing is as long as you stay in Christ Jesus and abiding in his love, I know the reward that you're going to reap in the end. Paul says, I pray for you because the love, was with you in the beginning of the work that you are doing now, he that was with you in the beginning that allowed you to start it, he is going to see you through this work. God would never bring us to it if he never intends to bring us through it. And God, and that's the kind of God that we serve today. So Paul said, I pray that you continue in the work of the Lord. Verses 1, Paul's prayer for the Philippian church. And then verses 2, Paul tells about the life of Christ. Paul says, he reminds them that God, Jesus, left the splendors of heaven, came down to a sin-cursed world and died on yonder cross. Jesus was royal. He was in heaven with God and he was equal with God. But because of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe him shall not perish but have eternal life. He sent Jesus to this world to die so that you and me, we can have the right to inherit eternal life. So Jesus set aside the deities of heaven, took on the form of a servant, he had to learn obedience because he was already wrong. Learn obedience. And he suffered. Not only did he suffer, but he suffered the death of the cross, which is disgraceful. For any man who hung on a tree, it was considered to be a curse. But Jesus did it. Set aside the deities. Set aside the deities of heaven to come down to a sin-cursed world, to an undeserving world. Romans chapter 8, 5 and verse 8 says, that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. While we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. Nothing good that we have done, but he died for us. And so today, the Apostle Paul wants to drive this point crystal clear. That most of the time when we become disappointed in our lives, all we have to do is go back to the beginning. I'm reminded of a story that I heard once about a couple who those I might have t-
told it to you one time before. Those who can remember the vehicles who had that straight couch-like seat in it, and that long seat, and couples would ride. Mama would ride under Daddy's arm while he driving. Let me see. I hope Daddy wasn't driving with this arm. Daddy was driving. I'm left-handed, and he would have his hand around Mama in that seat, and they would just drive. And as time goes on, they begin to sit further apart. And so one day, Mama asked Dad, say, look, you know, I remember in the beginning how we used to ride together, and we used to just sit all up under each other, and we used to just go down the road, snuggled up. But we don't do that anymore. The years have grown, and I'm over here, and you're over there. And Papa said, "Who moved? Who moved?" Because certainly it wasn't the driver; it was Mom. So that's what I'm saying. God, when we find ourselves apart from God, it's not because God has left us. It's because we have separated ourselves from the God. And we need to go back to the beginning, the original love we had for God. Paul tells them in verse 1 that he praying for them. Chapter 1, he's praying for them. Chapter 2, he says, don't forget the love that Christ had for us. To leave the splendors of heaven and die on yonder's cross so that we all may have a right to inherit eternal life. He unselfishly gave himself for us. And when we get to chapter 3, he says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? How can Paul tell anybody to rejoice in the Lord? At this moment, Paul is confined to a Roman prison. The Judaizers of that day are just trying to corrupt his teaching and trying to revert those newly converted Jews back to Judaism. Paul is old, and Paul has been beaten, and he's been in chains, and Paul is in a Roman prison at this time, and he says, he sends the message out, rejoice in the Lord. It wasn't because of Paul's circumstances that how can Paul say rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice gives way to the idea of delight in the Lord. See, Paul knew God. Paul knew the power of God, and it was because Paul knew God, he was able to look beyond his current circumstances and see the hope that he has in Christ Jesus. And when you are able to look beyond the circumstances of life, we talked about Peter Wednesday night, how Peter was seeing Jesus walking on the water, and he asked Jesus, can I come to you? And Jesus said, come. But even before Peter stepped out of the boat, the winds was already rough. There was a storm in the sea, and Peter began to walk. But when he took his eyes off of Christ, he began to sink, and we will too. We will too. The circumstances of life already exist. We know this. But we are to remain focused on Christ. Never forget. Begin again. Whatever it took for you to obey the word of God and to come to Christ, go back. Don't forget your first love. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Father, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you the same thing, to write the same thing to you, to me is indeed is not grievous. It's not bothersome for me at all to write the same thing to you, because I want to remind you. Every now and then we need to be reminded of what Christ has done for us. Paul says, I'm not bothered by writing the same thing to you again. He says, rejoice. He said, because those circumcision, for we are the circumcision. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the circumcision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul says those people who are preaching that you must be circumcised, those people who are more concerned with the cutting of the flesh to put off the to do away with filth? He says, don't worry about them. He says, because we are the circumcised when we think spiritual. It's not being circum. It's not being cut off, cutting of the flesh to do away with filth. It's the being pricked in the cutting of our heart to rid our minds of sin. Spiritually, Paul says, beware of the dogs. Those who preach you must be circumcised to be in compliance with the covenant of the Almighty God. Paul says, we are the circumcision. We are the spiritual circumcised in Christ Jesus when our hearts are pricked and cut. And we have ridded our minds of sin. Paul said, that's what we need to be concerned about. Don't worry about the dogs. Beware of the dogs, those who are preaching cleanliness of the flesh. You need to be cleaning your heart. Verses 4 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other thinketh that he, whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said there are some men going around who boast about what they are in the flesh. Some have given themselves titles, high titles. Some have went as high as to call themselves reverend. That's God's name. That's too high. Bishops and you're being caught up in all kinds of titles. Paul says, beware. Paul says, don't those men who have esteemed themselves high in life. He says, don't be like these men. He said, if anyone boasts, have a right to boast in the flesh, it's me. If you want to go down that road about who you are in the flesh, Paul says, I'm the man. Not higher than me. Paul says, I was circumcised on the 8th day. I'm of the tribe. If anybody can brag, it's certainly me. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the 8th day, the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew among Hebrews according to the law, and I persecuted the church zealously. And I did it all because I was trying to be righteous to God. I didn't know no better. I didn't know any better. So I did it, thinking that I was pleasing and to God. This is a sad fact. This is a sad fact in our world today. There are so many who have been taught wrong in our world, and it's our job to evangelize the world. And there are so many people who have been taught wrong by people they respect in life. And rather than going back to the beginning, there's some people I know of a woman who all her life she's been in the denomination. And we finally taught her the word of God, the hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sin. That was the first time she ever understood that you must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But rather than go back, submit to the will of God, she was too far in what she was in, and she did not want to turn. That's a sad fact. That's a sad fact. But when we realize, when we talk better, when we know better, it is our job to do better. Don't lose your soul because you're afraid to go back. Paul says, everything that I did, I was ignorant of it. But when I came to know Christ, all those things that I had done became as nothing. And before, whatever you was in before you come to know Christ, you can consider them as nothing. Some translations say rubbish, trash, garbage. And when you come into the knowledge of Christ, and you're able to go back and be honest with the Word of God and put those things to the side, oh man, heaven is going to be your home. Paul says, I put them to the side. All those things was nothing. I could brag like over any man, but nothing else matters. But you coming to Christ, being in compliance with the word of God. Paul said it was nothing. He says in verses 8 of chapter 3, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered
the loss of all things and do count them as nothing, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain the resurrection. Paul says that when you come into the knowledge of Christ, you want to feel comfortable in your Christian walk, in your spiritual walk. You want to feel comfortable in your spiritual walk. Get to know Christ. Get to know and have confidence and believe that, like Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 said, don't you know that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, was baptized into his death, we were buried with him in baptism. Paul says he take confidence in knowing that just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we shall rise again and walk in newness of life. Paul said, and that will make you comfortable. But when you are unsure about your Christian walk and your walk with Christ, you can't be comfortable. I'm comfortable. I obey the gospel. I obey the death, burial, and the risen. I was baptized into Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 5 says there is but one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1, one law, one faith, and one baptism. There is only one baptism. One baptism, and that's the right baptism. And the reason I say it like this is because I was baptized. I was in the water two times. The first time I went into the water, symbolic of baptism, was because, I'm going to say it, I was real young, very young. And I seen the adults drinking juice and eating crackers. I wanted that. I wanted it. And so my brother, older brother, said, how you get those juice and those crackers? He said, you got to go up to the front and you got to tell the man yes. No matter what he say, you say yes. So he asked me, he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I was ready. I said, yes. I went in the water, came up. I went down a dry center, came up a wet center. But that wasn't the right baptism. But when I came into the knowledge of Christ, I knew why he died and why he was buried. And I was going to symbolize that in baptism to wash away my sins. That was the right baptism. I went into the water again. I went into the water again, fully knowing you cannot be taught wrong and be baptized right. I was baptized for the right baptism. Paul says that we need to leave our own righteousness and be about the righteousness of God. He says, verse 8 say, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence and the knowledge of Christ Jesus for my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, and that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that Paul knew, when Paul knew better, he did better. That's all he's simply saying. Well, you know better, do better. Many have, and you can be comfortable in your walk with Christ. Make your calling and your election sure. Then Paul says, all of this is some good stuff, verses 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable into his death, if by any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. And Paul brings himself to our level. He says, not that I have already obtained this, because I haven't. And none of you, none of us could be comfortable because we have not obtained this. Paul says, but I have not obtained it, but I work towards it. I reach for it so that I may apprehend it. Paul said, I chase after it so that I may apprehend it. Apprehending simply means to reach out and to grab
Paul says, I'm chasing it. I want it. I'm chasing it. So my hand is extended. I want to reach out and I want to grab it. And in return, he reaches out and grabs me. I apprehend Christ and he apprehends me. Oh, that's wonderful. There's words to live by. We can obtain it if we put forth the effort. Paul said, not as though I have already obtained it, either were already perfect. I wasn't born perfect, neither were you. Nobody was born like John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. But we all have to come to the knowledge of Christ so that we can be obedient to his will and follow and walk in Christ Jesus. And obey the gospel and be baptized into his body. He said, the night that I was born perfect, but I will follow after that I may apprehend it. I may reach out and try to grab it. He said, brothers, verses 13, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing that I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Paul says that it's not easy. It's not easy. Paul says that I press towards the mark. Paul says that I press towards the mark, forgetting those things that are behind me. Not forgetting what I've done, but putting the past in the past. Paul said, if you're going to move forward, you can't go into the future carrying the baggage of the past. You're going to have to put the past in the past. And one way you put the past in the past, you forgive others. But before you can forgive others, you have to learn to forgive yourself. See, we don't have a problem forgiving others, but we have a problem. We hold those things against us, and we cannot forgive ourselves. We have to learn to forgive ourselves and press towards the mark. It's not going to be easy. I don't feel like getting up every time on Wednesday nights, coming to Bible College. I don't feel like getting up Sunday morning. I don't feel like being good to those who mistreat me. I don't feel like going in the background. But we have to press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. It's not about us, but it's about Christ. Let us therefore be perfectly minded. And if anything we like, Christ will give that to us as well. Drop down to 13 for the sake of time. Brethren, be followers of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul says, be ye imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ. Be you a follower of me as I imitate Christ. He says, remain consistent in your walk with Christ. Because when you remain consistent with your walk in Christ, even though your enemies and all kinds of things come against you and all manner of things come up in life, if you remain consistent, your enemies will take notice of that and it would prove to them that they're headed for destruction, but you everlasting life. And we can be an example to those who see us handle adversities and with our trust in God. We don't fly off the handle every time a circumstance come our way, every time issues come our way, every time tragedies hit our life, we don't fly, it's not so easy to fly off the handle. But we have our trust in God. That's what we are to do today. All of us, trust God. Put into practice trusting in God. So when those adversities come in our life, we'll already be immune. We already been to practice and trust in God, knowing that he is able and he is not slack concerning his promise. But he will do exactly what he said he will do. As we bring our lesson to a close, verses 19, whose end is destruction, whose God, he said, there's a man who only wishes themselves. Their God is their bellies, and whose glory is a shame, whose mind is on earthly things. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look to for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that we may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In a nutshell, Christ knows what he is doing. If we remain faithful, if we go back to willing to begin again. What I mean begin again is to find the excitement of our first love. Find the excitement of when we first came to Christ. And every time you think your work is done, just start back at one. Just start back. God renews his mercies. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23 says, every morning God renews our mercies. So every morning we need to renew our love for God. And we'll stay excited. Nobody can relax. Nobody can put their car in second gear and sit down. We must be faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of righteousness. Are you here today? Are you here today? And you have been lackadaisy. That's not a word. I'm going to use it anyway. Lackadaisy in your walk with Christ. You don't have to be that way. We need to be on fire and for the Lord each and every day of our life. We need to be be indebted. We need to be in God's word every day. I read Carla's Facebook scriptures every morning, and it's an encouragement to me. And I think all of us should be in the word of God just that much, so that we can know his ways and we can be comfortable in our walk with Christ. If you're here today and you have been slow in your walk with Christ, you don't have to be that way. If you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not put him on in baptism, I encourage you to do so. Because as long as you are outside of Christ, you are an enemy to Christ. You'll be a nice person. You treat your neighbors right. But you have not obeyed the gospel. You have not been baptized. You are an enemy of Christ because you are not submissive to his will. If perhaps you have put him on baptism, and you for some way you have fallen along the wayside. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. That's what we're here for. I believe that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Come, let us pray for you. Public, be it public or private, we want to pray for you. If you want to put him on in baptism, you do so. How do I put him on in baptism? I'm so glad you asked me. I can hardly wait to tell you. Romans 10:17. Tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 6:11 say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then you must be willing to repent of all your sins. Luke 13:3 said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you must be willing to confess the greatest name of mortal tongue. Romans 10:9-10. For with the heart man of believers is righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then you must be willing to go with him in the watery grave of baptism. Totally submerged in the watery grave of baptism. Arise a new creature. Live faithful unto death. Go home to live with him beyond the city of the bliss. Beyond this veil of tears. Where there's no more sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. And the former things have passed away. Whatever your desire may be, you can make your knowledge known by simply stepping to the front. As we together we stand and sing, the Savior invites you to come. Why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come?